Hi, it's great to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
I'm Justine Toth.
Now, Justine, we want to talk about a film that you've seen recently and lots of people are getting out and seeing. It's called Gravity. It stars George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. The director is Alfonso Cuarón. And it's a bit of a gripping story by the sound of it. It's this space genre. We love space films. There's lots of them in over the years. And this one seems particularly hair-raising.
Yes, it absolutely is. I can't think of many space films where a lot of the action takes place where you've got astronauts in space outside the ship, you know what I mean, and not walking on some sort of foreign planet or something. So basically the film starts off where you've got Sandra Bullock playing Ryan Stone. She's this NASA engineer on her first spacewalk, and she's kind of doing some adjustments on the communication systems of the Hubble telescope when elsewhere in space, this Russian satellite has kind of been obliterated and it's sending all its debris in their direction. So she's part of this team, this three-person team. There's herself, there's another astronaut who I don't know his name, and there's George Clooney, who's this kind of wisecracking astronaut, very George Clooney, really, who kind of zooms around on this jetpack so he can kind of get around space all on his own, really. So that was quite, which proves to be very handy later on. So as this debris comes their way, it basically takes out the ship and everyone on board, and it sends her, she's attached to this mechanical arm, it severs the mechanical arm from the ship and she just goes spinning sickeningly into space. And I saw this in 3D and in terms of, you know, you're in a cinema, which can feel a little bit claustrophobic sometimes because it's like you're in the middle of space as well, it's all black around you, and then you're just seeing her, you know, like the Earth is just, first it's at the top of the screen, then it's at the bottom of the screen, and then she's just feeling so sick and there's nothing that's arresting her fall. There's no one that can help apart from George Clooney and his handy jetpack. And, I mean, existential dread, really. I mean, I was so tense throughout the film. And basically it's the kind of film where there are so many problems that just happen so fast on the heels of the last problem that you don't really get a lot of relief. It's about 90 minutes of, you know, your pulse is racing, or my hands are sweating, you know, just sitting there going, what can happen now? Oh my gosh, this happened. Oh my gosh, you know, and on it goes. So, I mean, as a film experience, magnificent.
Explorer's been hit. Explorer, do you read? Explorer, over. Explorer. Astronaut is off structure.
What do I
do? Dr. Stone is off structure.
What do I do?
Dr. Stone, see Pat.
No.
You must see Pat. If you don't detach that arm, it's going to carry you too far. Listen to my voice. You need to focus. I'm losing visual of you. In a few seconds, I won't be able to track you. I can't see you anymore. Do it now.
Right, so this is a really gripping tale, Justine. Is there much in terms of the development of these characters and the way they interact?
Well, I guess it's all really set up very early on. You know, she's on her first spacewalk. She's really nervous. She looks like she's about to hurl into her own, you know, kind of astronaut outfit right from the start. For George Clooney, this is all very routine. He's there, you know, talking and joking around. So he's a very comfortable kind of character. And it also turns out that she has this quite a sad backstory as well, which is instrumental, I guess, later on in trying to give her the motivation to keep on going in what seems like the most hopeless situation possible. I mean, the film opens with this text that basically says, life in space is impossible. So it's like, if you want a hostile world, and, you know, the barest kind of portrayal of human life and how difficult it can be, and, you know, especially what you're supposed to do in the face of all those difficulties, this film kind of dramatises that very kind of personal crisis in these big sweeping terms.
You get a picture of, it's not the great frontier, isn't it? And it's a terrifying environment. And that idea of not being tethered to anything, it might be the most sort of chilling thing you can imagine, especially as you're spinning away from the Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. You're just thinking she's just done for. How can you know, Matt Kowalski, the George Clooney character, how can he find her? Because he's like saying so quickly, I can't see you. Can you see the space station? No. Can you see the ship? No. She's absolutely, it's like you've got no bearings at all. Her GPS system kind of crashes out. I haven't even mentioned that they lose all communication with Houston Space Control. So there's not only no physical tethering, there's no communication, there's only her and Kowalski who's somewhere in the void, and it's just the two of them, and that's it.
I must admit, when I was a kid, my dream was to be an astronaut, and this was before I realised I'm not very good at maths, and I'm terrified of enclosed spaces. So you can imagine this is the sort of film I love to go and see, but it might sort of give me the shakes while I'm watching.
Absolutely, but at the same time, this film is about the terror of open spaces, because right. We're talking about the endless void, right? And there's no walls to this world. It just goes on forever, and you can get lost in that world.
Do you copy?
Yes, 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 I copy. I'm detached. I don't know. I'm spinning. I can't.
Report your position.
GPS is down. It's down. I can't.
Give me a visual.
I told you nothing. I see nothing.
You have a visual of Explorer.
No.
You have a visual of ISS.
No.
You need to focus. Anything. The sun and the earth. Give me coordinates.
I can't breathe.
You're burning oxygen. You have to sip, not gulp.
Now, Justin, you make the point in an article you wrote on this that, in a sense, this you get from this story the idea of people being absolutely cut off from anything that might be able to help them. And in a sense, it brings in this idea of being cut off from God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first saw the trailer of the film or even the poster, I looked at it and I was like, I don't think I've seen a better visual representation of what it might mean to live in a world where God doesn't exist, or, you know, where there is nothing that is ultimately either restraining you, and that we often think that restraining means that I'm under someone else's control, but it could also be a restraint for your own protection, right? So, and so the poster has this kind of astronaut, presumably Ryan Stone, just kind of cartwheeling in space, basically, and the tagline says, "Don't let go." I suppose in our society, many of us have chosen to let go, but it's like, are we really prepared to face the implications of that worldview? So I'm interested in how the portrait of space that we see in Gravity is one that is empty. You know, I mean, I think space films have often been seen as an opportunity to, you know, encounter alien life, but in an ultimate sense, to confront God as the ultimate, you know, life, higher intelligence, let's say. But we don't have any of that in this film. It's just, you've just got these humans who are at the mercy of this pitiless, merciless universe. And you even get a sense that not even our tools and our technology will save us. Because you only see really, you know, George Clooney and Sandra Bullock in this film. You don't see any other people, really. And the amount of abandoned or empty kind of spacecraft that they happen to encounter, they're going, where is everyone else, you know? But it really is that case of not even the tools can save us. So there's not like in Star Wars where you've got R2-D2 or C-3PO or, you know, HAL of 2001, even though that turns out to be a malicious thing.
Or the Force.
Yeah, that's right. There's nothing. There's nothing absolutely out there. And so that's what I really think distinguishes Gravity from, I guess, other space films in a way, because they at least play with this idea, is there something out there? You know, is it the aliens of aliens? And we're horrified to discover that they might exist. But there's absolutely just nothing in Gravity. And it's a really closed universe, if I can put it in those terms. There's only humans and a universe where life really is impossible and everything is out to get you, even though nothing's really out to get you, because there's nothing in there.
And the sense that we're utterly alone. So the human experience has typically been one where we appeal to something beyond the material for help in the face of life's difficulties or ultimately death. And you're saying this is absent from this film. I wonder, do you get a sense it was a deliberate thing of the filmmakers trying to sort of make this message clear, or is it just sort of a function of the way they told the story?
I don't think that there's any kind of filmmaking agenda going on saying, oh, I want to portray this. I think in some ways it's like based on our current sort of knowledge of and ability to go into space, what might be possible and how can we go about that, right? So we haven't discovered alien life yet. Maybe it's just a way of portraying what a spacewalk, if it went wrong, how would you be able to get through that? And especially because, you know, if you think of Apollo 13, they at least had Houston Space Control to be able to guide them through that? What if that also was cut off as well? How would you survive that? So I think that the filmmakers are just, you know, probing this kind of question. They're not necessarily thinking, how about we show an atheistic universe where there is nothing except for humans?
So where's home, Dr. Stone?
Lake Zurich, Illinois.
Is there somebody down there looking up, thinking about you?
I had a daughter. A little girl with brown hair. Tell her that I'm not quitting.
The exchanges between the Kowalski character, the George Clooney character, and Ryan Stone are quite interesting because they kind of provide support, I suppose, for each other in the midst of this horrible situation. So you could make the argument that even though the universe is literally empty, there is the comfort that people can provide each other, which is kind of nice because, you know, we all need that if there's nothing else out there. It's not necessarily something you can count on, as it turns out, as well. And there is a part of the film where Ryan, so the Sandra Bullock character, actually contemplates praying. She's kind of, but she says all this stuff like, oh, you know, I'm here and I'm going to face death alone. I'm all alone. I don't know how to pray. No one's ever taught me how. And then it's a real moment where there is this expressed longing for something out there that can, you know, help her out of the situation, but at the same time she just expresses it and then she just moves on. there isn't even a halting attempt at trying to talk to something that might be able to be out there listening. So I think that itself is very revealing as well. Like, you know, for today, I think of my friends who aren't believers of any stripe. They might express the wish that there was something, but they won't actually take any steps beyond that to test that out or to
explore it.
Yeah.
I once, when I was young, went and heard an after-dinner speaker who had been an astronaut in the early Apollo landings on the moon. He'd driven the moon buggy. And I'll never forget something he said about all the people he knew in the space program. He said they either, having gone through this experience and seen, had that perspective of looking back on the Earth and, you know, being able to put your thumb up and close an eye and cover the whole thing, which he just said made you feel terrifyingly small. He said they either came back having had that experience with a deep religious faith, or, in his words, they went kind of mad. And so in his mind, this is the sort of experience that will have push you in one of those two directions.
You know, I'm not at all surprised that that's the case. I've once heard Bear Grylls say that there aren't any atheists at base camp at Everest. You know, and I think that we kind of have lost that, I guess, confrontation with the infinite, whatever that might be. I mean, for me, I was on holidays last week, and swimming in the ocean is enough of an encounter with the infinite for me. You know, it's horrifying. The waves are just coming at you. You feel utterly helpless. And if you can't swim, hey, you know, you're done for, basically. The film starts off, the first shot of this, you know, beautiful blue planet. It's like a paradise, right? In the midst of this black curtain wilderness. Like, it's just this endless black curtain of space, and I think space can't help but provoke these sorts of questions. You know, why are we here? How is anything possible? How is life possible when, as far as we can tell and as far as we can see, there is nothing out there except black, endless nothingness? So I'm not surprised that astronauts come back having had an experience of the infinite and it's pushed them in that direction, or it's sent them mad, because, you know, our brains, when confronted with something like the sublime, it's an experience of terror, but beauty as well. And so perhaps the beauty of it is when it pushes you in the direction of God, and the terror of it is, if there is no God, then what is there?
So all this spinning and flying out of control gives you this sense that despite our common, very human desire for a limitless existence, there's a sense that we need something to hold on to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what does gravity do? It keeps us grounded and it keeps us bounded, I guess. And that helps because it helps us to live into our natures, right? Because clearly, if we were living in an atmosphere-less world that didn't have gravity, we would just all be spinning off the planet all the time, and that wouldn't be very conducive to human life. We often feel that freedom has to be without constraint, you know, but a freedom that is with constraint is not unfreedom if that helps us to live within our natures. And I think that, you know, if we have been made to have been in a relationship with God, and that is the best way that we can live into our nature, then to abandon the idea of God, to kind of cut ourselves adrift from, you know, you could even say he's the ultimate lifeline, really, may not be that wise at all.